get nullified.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. You have tuned into Radiance by Design because we're learning how to raise our frequencies. Well, actually, we don't have to learn all the time because these days the frequencies on the planet and in the universe are going faster and faster until sometimes what I asked Dr. Kalaman a few weeks ago, I said, what's going to happen? Are we going to be like a direct tube to consciousness when our linear sense of how the time and space moves, it moves faster and faster? So what we knew that happened for over a period of a million years is now happening in under 300 days. It's like, wow, we're on this amazing curve to have higher and higher frequency energies. And I'm sure all of you experience, like I do, holy mackerel, time is going so fast. It seems like we're all changing so fast. The advantages are if we learn to surf it, we can dump old stuff, release things, and evolve faster than a whippersnapper. So I don't know how fast a whippersnapper is, but I think it's very fast, don't you? My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love to talk to you when you call in. I want you to call in today because we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about our interpretations of love. We have talked for a long time with our guides and angels. I talk with my guides and angels all the time, and I'm sure you guys get around to it too. But we talk a lot about how love is actually our protection. Most of us shut our bodies down in order to protect ourselves because we've been hurt and we're shut down against love, against trauma, against drama, against all the things that have happened in our life. But remember, the frequencies are changing really fast. And one of the things that happens is that we're able to release our defenses faster. And actually, if you're living into really strong feelings of love, you're actually more protected than if you're living a life of tension and defensiveness. It's really interesting, isn't it? It's kind of logical, and it's kind of scary or scary. And what we're going to do is talk a lot about love today. So how loving are you? What's your love quotient? And we're also going to talk about how love is sometimes used as a term to describe attachment or beings that we identify with, which is a little bit different than love. We say, I really love this person, so I'm going to hold on to them for the rest of my life. Now, that isn't necessarily how we're describing love. That there's another feeling, which is a love, which is a steadily expanding, acknowledging, opening kind of feeling. And we're going to talk about that as well. Today, we're going to do some exercises. We're going to do some structures. Remember the structures? The guides taught us structures which are vibrational arrangements of sacred geometric shapes to place around ourselves and to create kind of a research lab, if you will, or a dynamic, an energy dynamic chamber so that you can transform, you can evolve, you can manifest, you can do a lot of things, plus go into the world in a relatively, a relatively protected environment, meaning in these times of turmoil and these times of really rapidly changing frequencies, you can literally stabilize your presence in the world. And you can do it with unseen, some people wouldn't see them, with conscious creation of sacred geometric shapes. We're going to start off by doing that. And we're also going to do some exercises that help you release your attachments or your limitations that prevent you from feeling the love you are and you can have. And we're going to talk to you, get you to call in with your questions, and we're going to look at you and see how you're growing with the changing frequencies and what it is you'd like to release in order to feel the love that you want or in order to promote the love that you want to understand and be. I think love is really a part of our evolution, that if we were all able to tune in to the love within and the love without, then we would probably not be able to go to war, and we probably wouldn't be able to live I win, so you lose kind of reality, which has happened a lot. I was reading some of the stuff Barbara Hand Clow wrote, which is, I'm going to do an interview with her after this from 5 to 6 West Coast time, and we were talking about her book is talking about how there are great cataclysms in the history of the world. One of them, I think it was 140,000 years back, or I'm not very good with these numbers right now. Another one was 11,500 years ago, and so on. And what she claims is that we have been living out, because we're amazing critters. We have we're vehicles of vibration, and we've encoded within our vibrational fields tremendous pain and injury, limitation, thwarting, fear of death, fight or flight. We've got all kinds of trauma going on way down deep in our subconscious and our superconscious or in our unconscious and so on. And she claims that we hold in amazing traumatic reactions from all of the history of mankind on this planet. And these cataclysms that happened even 100,000 years ago are still resonant within our the part of our brain that is so ancient. I was going to call it the reptilian brain. It's so ancient, and it has encoded in it some of the defensive reactions that we took on as a species way back. Now, word has it, and this is not from Barbara's book, but from my own teaching and understanding from my own guides and angels and studies, that we can actually unhook from the drives of these things at this time. We can unhook from the drive of fight and flight. We can unhook from the drive that says that I'm always this way as a species and I have these limitations and that's just the way it is, too bad. We can get unhooked, and these rapid frequency changes are our allies as our consciousness catches up with the fast-moving fields, and we get to move beyond all this. All of it. I say all of it in just a minute. Now let's do a structure, and then I hope you'll begin to call in, because I like that the best. Otherwise, I'm going to talk a lot and teach you some exercises that are for clearing. We're going to read some of you who are afraid to call in and see you sitting out there in your own living room. And we're going to read on you anyway, even if you don't call in. But I like it better when you call in. So let's all take a few minutes, close our eyes, a couple of deep breaths. Okay, a little bit more. And now above your head, perhaps a mile and a half, a good stretch there, see a golden ball. You create it. It's a golden ball. And now below the base of your spine, perhaps 20 feet, another golden ball. And now draw a filament, a radiant, very bright filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your body into a lower golden ball. Good work. And you can feel that, can't you? You can feel the energy of that filament run through your body if you let yourself. And now around your waist, perhaps 8 feet in radius, all around your waist, see a whole series of golden balls to create a circle. Oh, it's pretty, isn't it? And again, you should feel the radiance if you let yourself. And from the upper golden ball to the circle of golden balls around your waist, drop many, many strings of light. I like to say they're pink, but you might see green. I don't know what you're going to see. So drop this myriad of filaments of light to form a canopy pointing up. And then drop them from the circle of golden balls to the lower one so you close in the canopy pointing down. Now you're in this great structure. Now, inside of the structure, create an etheric crystal ball. The edges of the crystal ball nudge the inside edges of your structure. Now, you can feel in there, it's a very loving, talk about love. You can feel the loving feeling, a feminine feeling as you sit in this crystal ball. Enjoy that. It's a very creative, nurturing feeling. And then deep within that, you have a double tetrahedron. That's a three-sided pyramid pointing upwardly and a three-sided pyramid pointing down. And where they meet, it creates a diamond-like shape, pointing up, pointing down, kind of fat in the middle. And there you are nestled in your double tetrahedron, and you take a wild ride. You spin and spin and spin and spin it. This alone will raise your frequency. And as you're spinning in your double tetrahedron, see in front of you a beautiful etheric screen. And on that screen, it's not necessarily etheric. I guess it all is. We'll call it a magical screen. And on that screen, create some movies, little movies of what it is you're trying to create in your life. What is it you want to create? What is it you'd like to manifest? And as you do that, feel yourself in the pictures. How does it feel to be you in these different pictures? And if it's for someone else, how would it feel for them? And continue. Maybe it's how your health is, what your future wants to be, what your tools are and your gifts, and how to empower yourself. And now remember, today's show is about love. So let's put yourself in there feeling incredibly loved, loving, being an amazing vehicle of love, spreading it everywhere you go. Now come on back out of your magical screen. And how's your double tetrahedron? Are you still spinning? If you're not, get it to spin just a little bit. And if you are, stay in it just for a few minutes and just give yourself that little extra juice. And then come on back out. Great. Good work. Now I'm going to give you the numbers, the phone numbers, if you'd like to call in and tell us how you are today. And we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about you and your relationships or even your self-love, because you and I know that if you don't have any self-love, or if you're driving, if your soul journey is asking you to drive yourself forward to be more loving of yourself, you're going to have faced some issues that help you refine this quest. So love is not just about out there, it's also about in here, isn't it? So call in and let's talk about your life, your love, your dreams, your goals, and anything else you want to talk about. Well, we don't talk about the weather too much, okay? It's 877-876-5227. That's in the U.S. And from Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And then those of you who want to use the direct line, or if you're calling in from Europe, 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. I'm looking forward to your calls. All right, let's get to work here. How did you like your structure? Did you get anywhere in your structure? How did you feel? Do you notice that when you do those structures, you actually feel like you're in a room or you're in a place where you're safe and you're strong? You know, I was listening to Jackie's show last week, and Jim Sparks was talking, and he has been abducted by ETs, aliens, for 20-odd years, and he's written a book about it called The Keepers, I believe. And he was talking about something. His whole interview was pretty interesting, but he also mentioned something that just triggered me, and it was that some of the beings, you know, are kind of flatlining or not very emotional. Matter of fact, don't have too many emotions. But there are some where their vibrations are so high and so strong, and there were some that are emotional and vibrationally emotional, and their energy is really loving, or they can be very loving, and it's really strong. And I was thinking how fascinating it is if I jump around and think about Michael Newton's books, Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls. And in Destiny, Michael Newton records people's under hypnotherapy, that a lot of his clients were going back into life between lives. And they were talking about contracts they'd made with various people between lives before they were born here again, and the kind of plans that they made to go through experiences here together. And what he also talked about is when people come through to the other side, his clients who were under hypnosis, were talking about there was a whole system of energy healing, and the whole goal is of moving people's energy and moving souls that go through and have been hurt, having their energy of wounds and transformation or limitations be dealt with there. And I was just sort of fascinated because thinking of like ETs being on the other side or being wherever they are, different consciousness, thinking of all the energy, because I like to do a lot of energy work with people, and knowing that if you can raise the frequency of any emotion or reaction, say you have a defense against love, or you're hard-hearted, and you know you are, and maybe you've been battered a lot, or it usually there's a really good reason why people have limited their ability to feel, and that can prevent love. So if we're working on you, then we go in and we find where that limitation energy is, and we move it. So it doesn't matter which system you're talking about in the universe, they're all talking about moving energy in order to feel the love. And the other thing we've been talking about lately is sometimes when you're on the other side, or sometimes when people are dealing with ETs, their loving energy is so high that it's really difficult for us to be with them. Some people pass out because we're our third dimensional reality. And I was talking about Barbara Hahn Clough's work, talking about how, oh goody, we've got a caller. I'll just finish this thought and then you will be on the air. We're talking about how resonant within us is our defensive reaction to cataclysmic times and so on. So we are quite often full of records of denser frequencies, and it's difficult for us to totally expand beyond that. Anyway, I'm glad I have a caller, and we'll finish this discussion in a few minutes. Good afternoon. You're on the air. Maybe it's evening where you are.
Well, hello, Veronica. It's Vicki.
Hi, Vicki. How you doing?
I'm good. It's Chilly Riano Tuesday.
It's Chilly Riano Tuesday. Did you bring enough for all of us?
Yeah. Just come out through the airwaves.
So, let's talk about love, Vicki.
Yes. Let's not. No.
yes,
that is one of, that is one of my heart issues.
I know. It's really an interesting issue for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's... I remember one show I listened to that you were talking, and you talked about the heart being like a sea urchin.
Yes.
And I always see that vision in my heart.
Well, you know, one of the things I was going to talk about just before you called was that some of us are born, some people are born with a really radiant, loving energy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are more born with the conflicts that we have innately in us resonant because of historical doodah, right?
Right.
And what I see in you right now, I mean, you're a perfect example. I hope everybody at home could see what I see. Because you have a wonderful, powerful, loving light, but your conflicts keep it squeezed because you're afraid to open that very thing that you know is in there, right?
Right.
And that isn't really unusual, is it?
No, I don't believe it is.
Yeah, for people who are listening, Vicki's a wonderful healer and is very loving with animals as well. But so it's not that we're judging anybody, or we're just saying how difficult it is for us to actually resonate with actual love, isn't it?
Yeah, and hold a residency.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of it is seems to be difficult. You know what I'm saying? It's. I had an experience, one of my horses hurt themselves pretty bad.
Recently?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so now this guy, he doesn't really like to be touched. Kind of reflects me.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's a wonderful teacher, and he has heart issues, and I have heart issues. And anyways, I went out there, and these animals know when somebody's trying to help them. And I found that when I was with him, I felt so soft, so loving, and so courageous. But it was like nothing I've ever experienced before.
Wow.
In that moment.
And do you think that's his energy?
Well, I think it's mine, and it's probably his. I mean, if him and I reflect each other that much, then it's both of ours.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think, I love this story, actually, so where do you think it came from, Vicki?
Well, I think it came out of the heart, and I think it came from a long, long, long time ago.
I love it. It's like I see you as somebody who has a tremendous, powerful, natural love energy, which is often blocked. But when it's for someone else for whom, you know, you can serve, you have that love. Also, you have the love of the healer, which is much more universal, don't you?
Yeah.
And the other thing that the guides are showing immediately, of course, is you have your higher guidance, which you count on for your healing work, right?
Uh-huh.
So what you got was the opening of your own gate, and you got your own higher energy that came through your own guidance.
Wow.
And you also got something from him because he was beseeching from a deep, deep, heartfelt place, that nurturing connection with you.
Mm-hmm.
That just touches me very deeply. my own heart's aching here.
Yeah, and what the other part of it is that I found that it's kind of like I remember on the movie What the Bleep, and they're on the beach and the waves are going and the shaman touches the woman's third eye, and you know, if you've never seen it, how would you know it's there?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like I don't remember consciously feeling that before, so I didn't know I could feel that. So now what I try to do is, especially with him, because I'm doctoring him 3 times a day, and I didn't call a vet because I decided that I could heal him, which was a big one for me.
Wow, good.
Whew. And
what was his injury?
He ripped his right down by his hoof on the flesh in between his ankle and the hoof. He tore. He got hung up on the fence, and
oh.
He was rolling. And I told him, it happens to the best of us.
Aww.
But so it was something. But I know it was meant to be. And
what's funny, because when I feel his presence, I feel this wonderful, trusting innocence coming from him to you.
Yeah.
And that's bringing the love out as well. Because remember, the innocence allows it to be non-defensive.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think this time of going out, I mean, my heart is like, open, close, open, close. And when I'm with him, I have to really go to that place and remember and call it up. And he just, drops his head. I mean, he's like a big puppy.
Aww. Well, you know what I really love about this call, Vicki, is that outside of the fact that you made a call, that's great, is that you are allowing something that's there, and you're also calling it in. I mean, it's really important for people to realize that we can call it in. And sometimes it's a bit of a struggle. You have to keep conscious, don't you?
Right.
It's lovely. And it's also, the other thing is that it's setting a tone so you know how to do it.
Yes, yes, yes.
So often we get awakened by something traumatic. I'm a psychic. I guess you knew that already. And then I love these stories where people say, oh, yes, so-and-so got a whack over the head, and then they open, bam, like this. And in most of us open and keep opening and keep opening, and it's a little bit like the door from the old radio show Inner Sanctum, remember?
Oh, uh-huh.
And I go,
Yeah.
So you got your inner sanctum door opening to love. And actually, animals are really the best for bringing that forward, aren't they?
Right. And thank you for mentioning the innocence, because that's what it feels. Words can't even explain the feeling that comes through me when I'm with him, doctoring him, and just being there. So.
Well, we've read about him before, and this is the first time I've seen that kind of stretching, reaching, loving something coming from him. And
my life had been kind of in a turmoil because I was working on support and stuff like that, and kind of diving in, and I found myself in a knot hole, and then this happened, and I realized that what he brought to me that day was focus,
mm-hmm.
and love and the rest, but it was to know what's important, and to me what was important was that feeling that was flowing through me to him and from him to me.
Oh.
That I, because humans and stuff, I don't really trust them yet, but I'm getting better.
Well, and you know what? This horse has a lot of that. He has evolved his trust for you through some pretty rocky terrain.
Yeah.
From his own history, right?
Right.
I know they tell us that horses, I can see it right now, we have ancient memory that gives us some defense and so on, and horses do too. They've been so badly treated that a lot of their cellular structure is kind of wary of us. I can't blame them.
Right. Right. Yeah, I read somewhere once where, it's encoded in the horse's heart of where they were used to be killed and for meat and run off cliffs and things like that, And
so
they, I think they have the thing, encodings that they have to work through too. And maybe not.
Very much so. And also the focus these days on equine therapy and the intuitive nature of horses is really giving them a little bit of a gateway out of that horrible defensive trap.
Yeah.
And they're also being better treated, I hope.
Yes, I do too. I'm hoping that they won't be recognized as machines anymore. Mine aren't. Mine are big babies, so.
Well, thank you so much for your call, and I expect to have a report in a while on how you're continuing to open to love. That
yes.
Sometimes we won't be able to go near you because you'll be expanded so much that we won't be able to handle it.
No.
Then you can teach us all how, huh?
Well, I guess that's better than being so radiant in anger that you can't stand it.
But that is an interesting comparison, because radiance itself, energy itself, is really a thing, isn't it? And
yeah.
What can we handle? And it is wonderful that you're handling so much love.
Yes. And I so enjoy your shows, both of them, this one and the Paradigm Shifters.
Great. Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Isn't it interesting? I was also going to mention how animals really teach us how to love. We have a little dog now. I haven't had a dog, but this one is 10 years old, and somebody just asked us if we would have him. And I wasn't sure, and yet what's really amazing to me is every time we go for a walk, I go for a little walk with him once or twice a day, and his loving nature is so forgiving. Oh, my goodness. He just is so loving, so forgiving, so proud of who he is when he's walking with us. And I go, yeah, that's really their service, isn't it? They give us so much. They're little vehicles of love. All right, now I'm going to talk about, I said, all right, like that's the end of that. Well, no, it isn't, because we're all just going to learn about love right now. The thing also about love is I'm going to tell you about a couple of exercises to do to increase it. But first, we're going to test it right now and see how loving you feel inside. So I want you to take a deep breath.
Okay.
I said take a deep breath, and then I didn't breathe at all, so that's a little bit ironic. Okay, here we go. All right. You need to do that to relax your body. And now I'd like you to, let's see, I'm trying to decide which one. Okay, let's call up all the energy. If you've got a significant other, I want you to call up all the energy of your significant other, of your partner, your husband, your wife, whatever. Ask to feel in your body, mind, all the energy of your partner. Now, if you don't have a partner in that sense, a mate, then call in somebody who's a really good friend. I'm just going to do this one exercise, and I'll come right back to you. Thank you for your call. So let's call up all the energy that comes from either your mate or a really good friend, and notice where it is in your body. Now, be honest. Some of you are not going to feel anything because you're not practiced at this, but when you get practiced, I'll tell you what, it's a great way to learn about yourself. But notice where it is in your body, and notice where it's expanded and where it's contracted, where it gets dense, and where it gets expanded. And the expanded part is, ta-da, your love. And the contracted part is your fears and defense and your frustration and your limitation. Now, this is not to make a big judgment on it. This is just to experience it. And now then you command total release of it right now. Command total release. We're going to go to our caller and come back to you in just a minute. Good afternoon. You're on the air. It might be evening for you.
Hi, this is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy. How are you today?
I'm great. And the reason I'm calling is because I really have a hard time with love. It's so much easier for me to love a stranger, actually, than to love people that are really close to me that have already kind of showed their places where maybe, you know, they've made mistakes, and it's harder for me with the people that I've known for 20 years or 30 years than to love them that unconditionally than it is to love people who I don't really know.
Isn't that interesting? That's a safe measure, isn't it? You know what's interesting about you, Stacy, is that you're very, very loving. You're just protected, honey.
I guess.
If we could find a little gateway to your energy protections, then you will find it very easy to not only love people from the past, but there's certain people that you're going to be forgiving in a while.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Is when we can really, for example, let me see, I'm not going to do a whole reading on your childhood and so on, but there's a real defense in you regarding the patriarchy, the power of the male. I would suggest some father issues here.
Definitely.
And when we look at your body, and the guides say, look at this, that you have a real self-tightening, holding yourself in reactive force against the father figure. But they say that in a while, okay, you're going to call it one of the recommendations they make here, and people at home can do this with us, and wrap yourself in light, because we're going to do a little energy release with Stacy right now. You're going to wrap yourself in light. And the thing is about forgiving, for example, an abusive parent, you want to make sure that you're not blocking your reactions, because you're going to want to deal with those. But you don't want to cart around a rage at or a defense against a parent your whole life, because it tightens your field, doesn't it? And you don't have the same kind of joie de vivre. Do you understand?
Right. Like, I've moved my father out of my life.
Right.
To the point where I feel like I have control.
Okay.
And that's great and everything, but I feel like I've also moved my husband out of my life.
And you know why that is, don't you?
Because I think I relate the two together.
Yeah, because most of us do, because you got this archetype in there called the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the male archetype. And so what we're going to do is do some clearing work with the male, okay?
Okay.
Because ultimately what's going to happen, this is a prediction, and I don't believe in predictions. What I mean is we have the right to create and change our reality over and over again. But we can see predictions from this moment, and you can change anyone you want. But what I see projecting in you at this moment is you're coming into a time. How old are you, Stacy?
40.
Okay. Well, I was going to say in your early 40s, you're coming into a time where you're just going to get these funny clicks inside, like click, and you're going to find a freedom from the reaction against your dad, and there's going to be a flush of forgiveness, and you're going to find your own loving energy with people close to you starts to pick up speed. And that's because the case that you're hiding yourself in is going to break. And I don't think it's dangerous. I don't think it's scary. I think it's just a really nice evolutionary quality that you're going to embrace in the next year or two. But right now, does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Because I feel like I'm starting to rattle that case right now where I tried last night to just sit down with my husband and have a moment where I just, you know, listen to him and just give him some love. And I realized that I'm blocked there.
Yeah.
That I couldn't do for him what I do for hundreds of people over the course of a year. I couldn't do for him, and we've known each other for over 20 years.
You know what's interesting, though, about your husband is that he has his own version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a, did you hear Vicky's call? Because he's got a sweet innocence about him, your husband. Do you realize
yeah.
that?
And there's something about her call that just resonated with me.
Well, you love animals, too, don't you?
I had a horse. I had a couple of horses when I was younger, and there's just something about having that relationship, that trusting, loving relationship with a horse, that it sort of transcends the human relationships.
Well, I want to say several things. One is, can I honor you by saying you give tremendous service to people, or you used to do, as who are inmates in the jail system and their families.
Yeah.
So I just want to praise
Thank
and
you.
Honor you for that. I know what a wonderful soul you are, and also how much love you have there. And when I look at your husband, I see him as fairly innocent in a way, but he too is tight and slightly blocked.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about that is you two could be like the matched pair. And that means if one of you gets in touch with that reaction that shuts you down, it'll emanate toward the other one, and both of you will crumble the defense. Do you understand?
That would be really nice.
Even if you did it as a guerrilla tactic and didn't even inform him that you were doing that, he would begin to resonate with a change in you.
Right. He does really quickly shift to the way I'm feeling, but sometimes I feel like I have these sort of mental attacks where I'm just responding to the present as if we were 5 or 10 years ago.
Well, you know what's interesting is the brain is a computer. Your husband is a techie wizard, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, and the brain is a computer, so it sort of makes sense that when it's been charged with a trauma reaction, And you have them from childhood as well as in your young adulthood and as well as some years back.
Mm-hmm.
You have a number of what we would call trauma programs that are coming up. So if we understood that, right, we would be perhaps a bit kinder to ourselves. But the problem is when you're in a relationship for a long time and some of those things come up, people start building their little bit of fortress inside, don't they?
Yes.
But I see Stacy and you, well, we're going to do a clearing exercise here, but I see you having the potential to absolutely open and feel that flush of love that you're more than capable of. You have so much love in you that it's really admirable. And your deep inner self is just trying to find a safe place to bring that forward. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like this. I ache for the world to feel love for each other. I just can't let myself have it yet. But there's an ache in you that wants it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you're sweet soul. So let's everybody wrap yourself in light, because when we do these exercises, we don't want to take on each other's armor. We want to clear it. The other thing, Stacy, when you're dealing with your husband, you want to wrap yourself in light, too, so he no longer has to resonate with a resistance in you.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Because I listened to him, and I stared at him, and I was just, like, feeling the wrong... I didn't feel the way I wanted to feel. I was feeling reactive and strange, and like I was in somebody else's body.
That's
and I
funny.
Thought, this is wrong. I should be able to just listen to him and listen to his experience and not curtail it with my own.
Or did you mean you got cool, or do you mean that you argued with this experience?
Well, yes, I argued with the experience. Like, I was choosing his feelings for him.
Aww.
And I thought, what are you doing? I was having this conversation in my head, really, and the argument with his feelings, because I didn't say it aloud, but then at the end I was just like, you know, I really can't do this. I think I need to not do this. And
aww.
So I felt bad, because usually I can really tap into someone's true self and help them to give themselves a big hug.
But you know what's interesting is that you've got something coming up which is going to lead you to being really a lot more powerful about yourself in life in the next little while. And sometimes when those things come up, we get what I kind of call an essential narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have to be in me because something's changing and there's nobody else that's going to monitor that new birth itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm seeing something to do with your dad. It's really not linear when it comes to human evolution, and you know that. I see something about your dad which needs to be cleared, because you need to be clearing the archetype. And there's something in your husband resonating with a coldness or something between the two of you, which is kind of cold and habitual.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, you can shift all of that. You're ready.
Thank you. Okay, you're wonderful.
So let's do that. Let's call up all the energy that comes from, and we'll do it with the male, or if you're a male, do it with the female, okay? So let's call up all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your father, in your case, Stacy.
Okay.
We're going to call up all the energy that comes from your soul contract with your father. Guys, do it with your mother. Yeah. And then exaggerate it. Now, when I feel it for you, Stacy, I feel it like pressing against my body like a heavy windstorm. It's interesting. How do you feel?
I feel it pulsing in myself like stabbing wounds.
Okay, so let's, in calling in our guides and angels, because we need a little help with this one, let's ask for help as we command total release of that feeling now. Total release of that feeling now, and then we take the light gargle, the golden light swashing thing, and swish it through your body. Ask your angels to take that feeling. And one of the tricks with this kind of work is you keep track of where in your body you feel that. When you do it on your own, wrap yourself in light, call it in, and feel all the places in your body which are programmed by this defensive reaction, self-protection. and we can't take a long time because we're on live radio, but I feel like you've got a huge chunk of awareness here. And then as you command total release and you say to your angels and your higher self, take this, you'll notice a shift. Did you get some shift?
I got a huge shift.
Okay, so I want you to do this kind of regularly. If you can think about it more than once a day, do that, because it's going to change your relationship with your husband. And, of course, we can get more complicated, but this is a good place to start. And it's a very good example of how love gets blocked by our defensiveness, isn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, you're wonderfully courageous to do this on the air for us.
Well, thank you so much, because you are just always so helpful. And I don't know if you realize how radiant you are in the community.
Aw, thanks, Stacy. We'll call in again. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Many blessings. So now that's a really good example of how we are programmed by our history. So if you think of, I keep talking about Barbara Hand Cloud because she's going to be on at 5 o'clock. If you think of how her stuff talks about our ancient programming, or Vicky's horse talking about the ancient programming in the horse, no wonder it's hard for us to absolutely embrace love. Many of us have many defenses, and it's not because we're afflicted. Well, maybe we could call it afflicted. It's not because we're wrong. It's because we've carried that understanding, that cellular understanding that's about as old as mankind. I'm one of those people that I think I'm really loving, but have been very defensive, and it's been hard for me to feel a lot of that a lot of the time. But right now, I have three people in my life who amaze me because they radiate that love all the time. And I consider that to be my gift, because I've been working. I'm 100 years old. I always tell you this. And I've been working on myself for a long, long time, wanting to be a conscious vehicle, a conscious radiance. I know a lot of you do, too, or you wouldn't be listening to this show, would you? And a lot of us are working hard to unravel old patternings and so on. But right now, well, I have a partner, and I have a stepdaughter, and I have a grandson, all of whom radiate love all the time. And not everybody's born with that. And that doesn't mean that they'll all end way ahead of the rest of us. But, you know, it's a real gift to start your life that way and be able to set the pace for other people around you. If other people are experiencing or being bathed in the kind of love that you're radiating, oh my goodness, that gives them a leg up, doesn't it? So let's see. There's another thing about love. Oh, I have all these little notes here. Oh, I know an exercise that's really wonderful. Jackie, whom I do a show with on Thursday night, her group does a chakra meditation, sort of my group. We do all kinds of chakra stuff, don't we? But one of the things that she taught, and many of you have done breathing exercises, this one is quite a rapid breathing exercise. It wouldn't take you very long, A, to learn it, B, it's very portable, and C, well, it's really effective, and it helps you clear your heart chakra and clear the heart itself, the pumping organ, to let it expand and really enjoy and employ love. So here's an exercise if you'd like to close your eyes and breathe with me, unless you're driving. And now that we can have some computer work in the car, I have to pay attention to that, don't I? Don't drive with your eyes closed. All right, so here we're going to do some breathing. I want you to focus into your heart chakra, into kind of the sternum area. And the front of it is green. Now, some of you will have a fuchsia color, and that's okay, too. Because we're all different, and every now and then some people have fuchsia and some people have green. And then the lighter green is at the front, and the back of the heart chakra is a teal color, which is kind of a deeper turquoisey, like a dark blue-green. Now, the front of it is green, and the back is dark blue-green. I want you to breathe from the front. Breathe green into it like this. And when you breathe out, breathe green into dark green from the front to the back of your heart chakra. And then as you breathe into the front again and breathe out toward the back and breathe into the front. And let's do it a few times. What happens is it builds the frequency, it builds the energy in your chest. And you will feel a lot of love. I practice this and it's wonderful. Here we go. Build those colors too. Keeps your mind busy. There, just sit in that for a minute and see if it doesn't surround your body or make your body feel really wonderful. Now, there's another really interesting thing about how bonded we all are energetically. And, you know, if you're born into a family, well, most of us are born into a family, am I right? There is a kind of a common energy field or energy flow, or it's like a little ocean of energy between the people. Everybody is bonded through some kind of energy match, right? So you could say we're tied together energetically. And then as we learn about souls coming back in, very often they say families, we're born back into families, and that family groupings or soul groupings where people are born in and out of that soul grouping. Maybe you play the role as a mother, as a daughter, as a grandmother, as a lover. Play all these different roles, but it's essentially the same group of people. My experience in life is it's not that cut and dried. However, in some cases, it's true. You feel like you've been with these people forever and a day. Anyway, it's kind of fascinating because as you're trying to authenticate, you're trying to become who you really are. And here we've been talking about bazillions of years in which we've been encoded with cataclysmic events, trauma reactions, PTSD reactions because of something that happened 11,500 years ago, and it's in our cellular structure. Then you start dancing around with these cellular interactions like there's some kind of maypole and these particular souls dance around the same maypole over and over again, lifetime after lifetime. Well, and then there's this other thing about some of us are very empathic. And empathic people breathe and take on the feelings, thoughts and feelings and the energy fields and the emotions and reactiveness of the other people that they're with. And gall darn it, it makes it really hard for us to be authentically ourselves, doesn't it? Like you think that sometimes being, or maybe you think, I'm not trying to attack you, sometimes being really honest about how you feel is an authentic thing, and sometimes it can be a subconsciously reactive thing. And you could be reacting to some triggers that are running through your belly area, through your subconscious. Anyway, it gets very, very complicated to find out who we really are. And yet that's part of the drive these days, to extricate ourselves from the many impulses that come from through the subconscious and keep running us, programmed, you know? So one of the things I wanted to mention is how interesting it is that when people lose their mother, the mother passes over. This is just one example, but we're born in the mother's womb, and in the womb is where the subconscious is housed in the body. And the mother's womb is full of ancient programmings that she's brought with her, and then the child absorbs some of it. Some people absorb more than others. The more empathic ones absorb the most, of course. And then we go through our life experiences with our mothers, if we're fortunate. And then whether or not you get along well with your mom, she might be just the bane of your existence, or a great karmic tribunal, you know, or an abusive woman, or absolutely adorable, endearing woman. It doesn't matter. Well, it matters, of course, but whether your mother, when she dies, what leaves you in a state of incredible grief or turmoil or consternation because you had a difficult relationship or whatever. As the mother passes, she seems to take with her a whole bunch of these energy interactions. And I've watched it. I've done my work with people, energy work and counseling for 20-odd years. And over and over again, I've seen women who are really heartbroken because they adore their mother, for example, saying, "This is going to sound really strange, but I feel so relieved in some ways, so much more expanded since my mom passed." And I smile because it's part of this loving thing as well, is learning to love is... is recognizing when our fields are free to express and we're not living in a real reactive energy. And another thing is I think when she leaves, it is an act of love that she pulls off some of the wrappings. I just decided that through the years because I don't know if that is legitimate or literal or whatever. However, it seems to me I've seen it enough to truly believe that when the mom leaves, she undoes some of the packaging that you've got stuck in you. So call in with your questions, with your discussions, and how is it going for you with love in your life? Oh, my goodness. We've only got about, what, 5 more minutes. Well, if you call, you have to call real fast. So the other thing is when people go through a crisis, you know, sometimes when we go through a crisis, we don't always get post-trauma stress. Sometimes, for some reason, it shakes people down. People go through a crisis, and then suddenly they're unhooked from some kind of drama, trauma, limitation, or so on. I know of somebody who went through a crisis, again, of being rejected fairly recently. He was rejected at a very deep level by the same group of people for I don't know how many umpteenth time. All of a sudden, the person burst inside. She said she felt like an orange, and that the orange had suddenly streamed its juice all over the place and burst, and the orange seemed to open, and what came out was kind of a new form of self or a new spirit of self that came up through. And what it reminded me of is sometimes when we have a big trauma such as that, it is an act of love in a way. All of a sudden, all this crisis comes together, and the person is freer. That person is done with something that has been tying him or her into a place of reaction and place of a patterning for a very long time. It might be an extremely long time. And when something like that seems like it's negative, seems like it's too bad, seems like it's really traumatic, seems like it's sad, happens, it's actually a wonderful, loving, expanding gift, because all of a sudden this person is freer to be truly who he or she is and has unhooked some of those amazing reactive energies that have been pumping through her body mind or his body mind all of their life. All right, so we're almost done this show today. This has been Radiance by Design, and we've been talking about love, and I'm really honored by the callers that we had. Thank you so much. I want to send out special blessings to people who are ill. I have a few people in mind. Let's send light to Merle. And I guess there's some people whose names I don't really want to mention, but I want to say someone who had a sudden cancer. And I know that. And someone who's suffering terribly, trying to work with her mind over her cancer. And if we could all take a few minutes and envision those people we know who are really ill or really struggling with that kind of evolution, sovereignty over body, mind. And let's send them a glowing, healing light and have it flow out of your heart with your love and have your love connect to the love spirit as we send healing light to the people that you might want to name in front of you that you're all working on at this time. Excellent. And I hope that you will stay tuned at 5 o'clock, which is, I think, by 8 o'clock at East Coast time. And I know it's the middle of the night over there in Europe and England and so on. But in any case, we're going to have a guest, a wonderful guest named Barbara Hand Clow, who's going to be talking about her latest book, The Mayan Code. And what she's talking about are streams of consciousness that have come through ancient times and these times and how to decode what these streams of consciousness, how they were influencing humanity as it came through. And as we approach 2012, what are we to expect? Is it like Y2K? Will anything happen? Or will we have an awakening? Will it be the end of the world or just the end of a calendar because we're going to get a new design? What does that new design mean? Is it something that's coded in ourselves? She's going to talk a lot about that and about healing work. And the other book she's written about, which she talks about the nine dimensions, she works with the Pleiadians, and so on. It should be a pretty exciting show, and that's in 5 minutes' time. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm going to talk to you on Radiance by Design next Tuesday at 4 p.m., and I don't know who my guest is next week, but I am going to be on Jackie Salvitti's show, ET Healing, this coming Thursday at 8 o'clock. I'm really excited about that. We've been talking about the shadow forever because the shadow knows. We know that our shadow holds anything we don't express in all of the history of mankind's dreams of consciousness that maybe didn't see the light of day. And she's been bringing in more like Jim Sparks, who had abductions and so on. But it's always about all of this stuff that's inheld in the shadows, which keeps us cultivating our own fears and limitations and how we can release them. So I'll see you on Thursday night and look forward to seeing you next Tuesday. And for those of you who can, stay tuned. In 5 minutes, I will return with Barbara Han Clow. Many blessings. Much love to you all. Hello. Am I still on the air? Maybe I better sing a song for everybody. You haven't taken me off the air yet.